Chapter 9, The Revelation. The two men began climbing the stairs. When they reached the top, Dorian unlocked the door.
"Do you insist on knowing, Basil?"
he asked in a low voice.
"Yes, I'm delighted,"
he answered, smiling.
"You're the only man in the world who has a right to know everything about me. You've influenced my life more than you think."
Dorian opened the door and Hallward looked around with a puzzled expression. The room was covered with dust, and there were holes in the carpet.
"So you think that only God sees the soul, Basil? Take the cover off the portrait and you'll see mine."
The voice that spoke was cold and cruel.
"You're mad, Dorian,"
said Hallward.
"You won't do it? Then I must do it myself,"
said the young man, pulling off the cover and throwing it on the floor.
"Ugh!"
An exclamation of horror came from the painter's lips as he saw the hideous face on the canvas grinning at him. There was something in its expression that filled him with disgust. Good heavens! It was Dorian Gray's own face that he was looking at. It still had some of that marvellous beauty under the horror that disfigured it. But who had done it? He held the lamp up to the picture. In the left-hand corner was his own name. It was his own picture. And in a moment his blood became as cold as ice. What had happened? He turned and looked at Dorian Gray with the eyes of a sick man.
"What does this mean?"
cried Hallward in a strange voice.
"Years ago, when I was a boy,"
said Dorian Gray,
"you met me and taught me to love my own beauty. One day, I met a friend of yours who explained to me the wonder of youth, and you finished my portrait, which revealed to me the wonder of beauty. In a mad moment, I made a wish, or perhaps you'd call it a prayer."
"I remember it. Oh, how well I remember it. No, it's impossible. There must have been something wrong with the paint. I tell you, the thing is impossible."
"What is impossible?"
murmured the young man.
"You told me you destroyed it."
"I was wrong. It has destroyed me."
"I don't believe it's my picture."
"Can't you see your ideal in it?"
asked Dorian bitterly.
"There was nothing evil in my ideal. Nothing shameful. This is the face of a satyr."
"It's the face of my soul."
"What have I worshipped? It has the eyes of a devil."
"Each of us has heaven and hell in him,"
cried Dorian.
"My God, if this is true, and that's what you've done with your life, you must be even worse than people say."
Hallward threw himself into an old chair and buried his face in his trembling hands. He could hear Dorian sobbing at the window.
"Pray, Dorian, pray,"
he murmured.
"The prayer of your pride was answered. The prayer of your repentance will be answered too. I worshipped you too much. I'm punished for it. You worshipped yourself too much. We're both punished."
"It's too late, Basil."
"It's never too late. Let's pray together."
"Prayers mean nothing to me now."
"Don't say that. You've done enough evil in your life. Don't you see that repugnant thing staring at us?"
Dorian looked at the picture, and suddenly an uncontrollable feeling of hatred for Basil Hallward came over him. He hated him more than he had ever hated anything in his life. He looked wildly around. His eyes fell on a knife lying on top of a cupboard. He seized the knife, rushed towards Hallward and stabbed him in the neck, behind the ear. Dorian stabbed him again and again. There was a groan. And then the horrible sound of someone suffocating. Hallward raised his arms three times. He stabbed him twice again, but the man did not move. Something began to trickle on the floor. It was Basil's blood. Dorian threw the knife on the table and listened. The man was sitting with his head on the table. He seemed to be asleep. How quickly it had been done. He felt strangely calm. He picked up the lamp and left the room without looking at the murdered man. He felt that the secret of the whole thing was not to think about it. The friend who had painted the fatal portrait had gone out of his life. That was enough. When he reached the library, he saw the bag and coat. He hid them in a secret cupboard where he kept his own disguises. He could easily get rid of them later. Then he pulled out his watch. It was 2:40. He sat down and began thinking. What evidence was there against him? Basil Hallward had left the house at 11. No one had seen him come in again. His servant had gone to bed. Paris, yes. Basil had gone to Paris on the midnight train, as he had intended. It would be months before anyone suspected anything. Everything could be destroyed long before then. He could get away with it. Suddenly he had a thought. He put on his coat and hat, opened the door and slipped out. Then he began ringing the bell. After 5 minutes his servant appeared, looking very drowsy.
"I'm sorry to wake you up, Francis,"
he said,
"but I forgot my key. What time is it?"
2:10, sir."
2:10? How horribly late. You must wake me up at 9 tomorrow. I have some work to do."
"All right, sir."
"Did anyone call this evening?"
"Mr. Hallward, sir. He stayed here until 11, and then he went to catch his train."
"Oh, I'm sorry I didn't see him. Did he leave any message?"
"No, sir, except that he would write to you from Paris."
"That is all, Francis."
Dorian went into the library, took the blue book from one of the shelves, and began turning the pages.
"Alan Campbell, 152 Hertford Street, Mayfair."
Yes, that was the man he wanted.